For Matthew Spector. Society mediates between the extremes of, on the one hand, intolerably strict morality, and on the other, dangerously anarchic permissiveness, through an unspoken agreement whereby we are given leave to bend the rules of the strictest morality, provided we do so quietly and discreetly. Hypocrisy is the grease that keeps society functioning in an agreeable way. Janet Malcolm, The Journalist and the Murderer. Somewhere in the last few years, and I can't pinpoint exactly when, a vague yet almost overwhelming and irrational annoyance started tearing through me maybe up to a dozen times a day. This annoyance was over things so seemingly minor, so out of my usual field of reference, that I was surprised by how I had to take a deep breath to dismantle this disgust and frustration that was all due to the foolishness of other people. Adults, acquaintances, and strangers on social media who offered up their rash opinions and judgments, their mindless preoccupations, always with an unwavering certitude that they were right. A toxic attitude seemed to drift off every post or comment or tweet, whether it was actually there or not. This anger was new, something I'd never experienced before, and it was tied in with an anxiousness, an oppression I felt whenever I ventured online, a sense that I was going to somehow make a mistake instead of simply offering an opinion or make a joke or criticize someone or something. This idea would have been unthinkable 10 years earlier, that an opinion could become something wrong. But in an infuriated, polarized society, people were blocked because of these opinions and unfollowed because they were perceived in ways that might be inaccurate. The fearful began to instantly see the entire humanity of an individual in a cheeky, offensive tweet and were outraged. People were attacked and unfriended for backing the wrong candidate or having the wrong opinion or for simply stating the wrong belief. It was as if no one could differentiate between a living person and a string of words hastily typed out on a black sapphire screen. The culture at large seemed to encourage discourse, but social media had become a trap, and what it really wanted to do was shut down the individual. What often activated my stress was that other people were always angry about everything, presenting themselves as enraged by opinions that I believed in and liked or thought were simply innocuous. My pushback against all of this forced me to confront a degraded fantasy of myself, an actor, as someone I never thought existed. And this in turn became a constant reminder of my failings. And what was worse, this anger could become addictive to the point where I just gave up and sat there exhausted, mute with stress. But ultimately, silence and submission were what the machine wanted. The idea of beginning a new novel started whispering to me sometime in the first weeks of 2013, while I was stuck on the I-10 in traffic merging into Hollywood, after I had just spent a week in Palm Springs with a friend I'd gone to college with in the 1980s and who was now losing her mind. She had broken down in front of me several times during those days in the house on Azure Court, before leaving earlier than expected to attend a Deepak Chopra retreat in San Diego, and yes, I know how this sounds. In Palm Springs, I was unexpectedly crippled with waves of anxiety that kept me in bed for hours staring at my phone, vague yet vast realizations about mortality that my friend's frailties had activated and encouraged, while also absurdly, furiously going through the last demented round of notes on a pilot I was writing for the CW network. Between the bouts of fear and the never-ending phone calls from the production company and the rewrites, the thought that I might never write another novel announced itself more loudly than it had in years, and my last novel had been completed in 2009. Why this idea asserted itself at this particular time, I can't tell you. The desire to write prose had kept pulsing faintly within me for years, but not within what I now saw as the fake enclave of the novel. In fact, I'd been wrestling away from the idea of the novel for more than a decade, as evident in the last two books I published. One was a mock memoir wrapped within a horror novel, and the other was a condensed autobiographical noir I pushed through painfully during a midlife crisis, a story about my first 3 years back in Los Angeles, futilely working on movies after I'd lived in New York for almost two decades. For those past 5 years, I had no desire to write a novel, and had convinced myself I didn't want to be constrained by a form that didn't interest me anymore, and yet I was willing to be constrained by the conventions of the 100-page screenplay that would never be made, and the 5-act TV pilot that would never be shot. I had reiterated all of this firmly in interviews I'd given over that period during the world tour.